The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of Salem Communications, staff, management, or advertisers.
Activist Radio is on the air.
You have tuned in to the Mark Harrington Show, sponsored by Created Equal.
Mark is training a new generation of leaders
to take on the culture of death and win. All right.
If you don't like abortion, don't have one.
The only thing that can be said to be objective truth is that there is no objective truth.
It does come out in one piece. It comes out in one piece.
I would argue that we certainly are not all created equal.
And now, here's Mark.
That's right, your radio activist. And voice of resistance here on WRFD. Thanks for tuning in. About ready to hit the road. That's where we spend most of our time, folks, on the streets. In our cities and college campuses and high schools all across America. Stimulating debate on abortion killing, child killing, the killing of the preborn. And we're about ready to head south to the state of Florida, where we're going to spend several weeks on college campuses. We load up a charter bus of young people. We train them in, you know, how to defend the pro-life position, pro-life apologetics, in the bus, in the classroom, on the street, on the campus. We are raising up the next generation of leaders to take on the culture of death and win. And folks, if you're interested in sending your young person, high school or college age, to be with us for a week or two, we're still accepting some applications. The bus is not full yet. So you can send your application by going online to our website at createdequal.net. That's createdequal.net. If you have a young person, if you want them to be altered for life, if you want them to be different, to change, to be a world changer, put them in our midst for a week. Because something happens when kids are together, when students are together, young people are together, and they're in the battle together. There's a bonding that happens that can't happen anywhere else. When you're in the trenches and you got each other's back and you're fighting for a cause bigger than yourself, something happens that's life-changing. And these relationships go on for a lifetime. So that's our Justice Ride. Go to our website at createdequal.net. We're about ready to hit the road, but we still have a couple spots left. Talking about changing the world. That's what we're going to be doing today, and we're going to be talking to Star Parker. And Star Parker is an author and founder of the Center for Urban Renewal and Education. That is Urban Cure, and you can go to the website at urbancure.org. Star, thanks for being on the Mark Harrington Show.
You're welcome, Mark. It's wonderful to be with you, and it's nice that Washington, D.C. is clear today as opposed to when we were last together here at the die-in in front of the White House during the March for Life week.
Yes, it was. I was there with Star and Father Terry Gensmer, who's on our board of directors, the survivors of the abortion holocaust, and we do what's called a die-in, where the young people lay on the sidewalk and drape a red garment over all of them to simulate the numbers of abortions that have taken place. We did that in front of the White House on the day before the Roe versus Wade anniversary. Star, the reason why I wanted to bring you on as an author, you've written several books, some of them, and many of them very, very popular, and our listening audience would know your name likely. We've got a new one coming out, Blind Conceit, and folks, I'm going to ask you to go to Amazon, and you can check it out. It's an ebook that you can purchase online. But Star, let's talk, you know, because you deal with a lot of issues there at Urban Cure. Limited government, issue of race, homosexuality, health care, things like that. But I want to hone in on the topic of abortion and Planned Parenthood for the first segment at least, and talk about that. If our listeners aren't aware of this, and I'll just give the statistic, and that is that African Americans comprise about 13% of the American population. However, 33% of all abortions are committed by African Americans. Disproportionately happening across this America, it's a black genocide. Talk about that, would you, Star?
It absolutely is, and in fact, the numbers get worse when you consider that only 7% of the childbearing age black women are, 7% are a part of our population, and that then is that 33%. So the numbers get worse when you consider that God calls children his reward. But a lot of black women buy into this lie of the left. I bought the lie of the left, and it wasn't until after the fourth time that I went into one of their so-called safe, legal, rare abortion clinics that I had a gut instinct way down deep inside that this is a lie, you know, that maybe there's something wrong with killing my potential offspring. And although I didn't know Christ and I didn't change my sexual behaviors, I was pregnant again within a very short period of time. I didn't have another abortion, and that's how I ended up on welfare, because I also didn't change my attitude towards sexuality and marriage. And so I ended up on welfare 3.5 years, and then that's where the Lord found me, in a little dark hole that I had carved for myself in those decisions. After being born again and then the Lord cleaning me up and uncovering for me how I was part of a statistic, I began this journey into pro-life activism. And in fact, CURE, the Center for Urban Renewal and Education that you mentioned, that I founded almost 20 years ago, it considers itself an anti-abortion group, not a pro-life group necessarily, because while we are pro-life and many pro-life groups focus 100% of their time and attention on that, we want to stop abortion. We are anti-abortion because we really believe that God has placed value on every individual. And so our overall and overriding philosophy is to dismantle the welfare state. Abortion has become an entitlement. You know, what's really fascinating to me is Ebony Magazine just did a piece on black women and abortion where they're trying to get people to come out and talk about the wonders of abortion. And, you know, of course, I don't want to read the full piece. I've only read a few things, because reading a piece from Ebony on black women and abortion is like watching an ISIS video, and I don't do that either. But what caught my eye in their telling of how the amazing parts of abortion to allow you to go on to fulfill life is the opposite is exactly true, that there are many black women who are regretting their abortion and coming into our ranks and joining Silent No More, and bragging about having had an abortion is pure mockery toward God, is the statement that I put out on our Facebook. Because when you think about 1 John verse 8 and 9, it tells us that if we say we haven't sinned, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful. The Lord is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I'm just wondering what it says of the left to think that to encourage women to brag about abortion when we can see the damage that it's done, not just to women, but to men and to grandparents and to our society. I'm just wondering what we can do. In addition to all that we are doing to stop the left, to declare to this country that although abortion is legal, it's not lawful in God's eyes, and regardless of what color that child is to become, that child needs to become.
Well, let's talk about that. Star Parker is my guest, and you can go to Star's website at urbancure.org. That's urbancure.org. And you can check out their work there. She's the founder and president of the Center for Urban Renewal and Education, or CURE. And she's got a new book coming out called Blind Conceit, and you can check it out by purchasing the ebook right now on Amazon, iTunes, Google Play, and Nook Play, I guess it is. So those folks that like ebooks, you know, that's the way to get it. And give it a 5-star rating. If you do, then it raises up, and it's and then we can, you know, there's more people will read it, and that's what we want to happen.
Yeah, a lot of people ask me about the name Blind Conceit.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Politics. What's that?
What's it mean?
Well, you know what? It's a book about policy, politics, and racial polarization. It's a compilation of columns that I've written over the last 10 years when I was writing for Scripps News Service. I've moved on since Scripps sold. But what it means, it's right out of the Psalms. Psalm 36, 1 and 2 says that sin whispers in the ear of the wicked, deep in their heart. It says that they have no fear of God, so they can't restrain themselves. In their blind conceit, they can't even see how wicked they really are. And so it is an attempted proof that what we're up against in this war in our society, this cultural war in our society where abortion is a fruit of that war, is that you have people that are so arrogant that they're blind. They cannot see. And so we must shine the light. Organizations like yours, like mine, and many, many others, and the young people that you're going to get on that bus to go across the country to declare to the society that this is evil. We cannot continue to allow such a crime against humanity and think that God is going to continue to bless our country
and start
us personally.
Yeah, and you mentioned abortion an entitlement. Boy, I've never put it in that kind of a category. Explain what you mean by that.
Well, when you think about why we're where we are today with 57 million dead at the hands of women, men, and others because of believing this lie of the left that these children are worthless, that they're unplanned, so therefore they're unwanted. We look back 50 years. We had a war on religion where we scrubbed our schools of any reference to God. During that same time, we had a war on marriage where we sent messages through feminism that you own yourself and that, we are not, you don't have to have any type of norms, cultural norms regarding your sexuality, marriage, confining it. And then we also at the same time had a war on poverty, which said, and by any chance, if you have natural consequences as a result of, your reckless living, we now have safety nets. And so they built out a welfare state. So the 60s, we had a war on religion, a war on marriage, and a war on poverty at the same time. And by 73, lo and behold, we have abortion because this is a natural consequence of illicit sexual behavior. The Lord put parameters around our sexuality, and he asked us to marry before producing children. But the feminists and others in our society, the secular left, knew better. They didn't want those restrictions and barriers and therefore had to come up with measures to ensure that if you were sexually active without a husband, you could have an out, and you were entitled to an out, and therefore we ended up with birth control, all types of other contraceptives, and if those don't work or you choose not to partake, then you have abortion.
Star, we got about a minute before the break here. Let's talk about Planned Parenthood. Way back when, the Birth Control Review, Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, that arch-racist, wrote this. She called it the Negro Project, where she said she did not want word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population. So ministers were the men who could straighten out the idea that that ever occurs. She called on ministers, African-American ministers, to be part of the Negro Project. And we only got 30 seconds. We just want to set this up for the next segment. But that was then, and people say, oh, okay, that was, 100 years ago. But this is now. Planned Parenthood does good things. And let's hold on to that, and we'll carry it over to the other side. The Planned Parenthood, they do cancer screenings, and they provide birth control and other things, not just abortion. They're a lot different than they were when Margaret Sanger founded them. We're going to talk about that on the other side. We're talking to Star Parker, and Star's the founder and president of the Center for Urban Renewal and Education, or CURE. You go to the website at urbancure.org and be sure to check out her new book, Blind Conceit, on Amazon, iTunes, Google Play, and Nook Play. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
What do other pro-life leaders think of Mark Harrington and Created Equal? Listen to Scott Klusendorf of Life Training Institute.
Created Equal is about changing this culture, and that's what we have to do if we are going to win this fight. And Mark and Seth and the others on the team of Created Equal are doing just that. And I am happy to endorse their work, glad to call them fellow companions in this fight for the life of the unborn. And I certainly hope you will support and work with them as they work on reforming this culture so that it has an appreciation for human life.
Mark Harrington is a missionary and free speech advocate, and Mark has been on the front line of the debate over abortion for over 20 years. Mark needs your prayers and financial support. Please support Mark and Created Equal by going to createdequal.net or send a check to Created Equal, Post Office Box 360502, Columbus, Ohio, 4230. Your gifts are tax deductible.
That's right. I'm needing some love. I need some love. You could give me some love by supporting our work. You can go to createdequal.net and give electronically or send us a check to P.O. Box 360-502, Columbus, Ohio, 43236. We're talking to Star Parker, and she is the president and founder of Center for Urban Renewal and Education. You can go to the website, urbancure.org. So, Star, let's talk about Planned Parenthood. Margaret Sanger, okay, the founder and president, you know, way back when, set up this Negro Project and wanted the ministers to figure out a way to help exterminate the Negro Project, whatever. But that was then, and this is now. And Planned Parenthood is this beneficent, you know, wonderful organization that provides all these wonderful services. Is that true?
There's absolutely no denying. As my old pastor used to say, you have to be deaf, dumb, blind, or dishonest to deny that Planned Parenthood is exactly who they were yesterday. They're in the business of abortion. Planned Parenthood is in the business of abortion. They kill 350,000-plus children a year every year. They are a billion-dollar corporate giant. They receive government welfare. They're a corporate welfare recipient, taxpayer money to the tune of $350 million a year, every year.
Mm-hmm.
79% of Planned Parenthood clinics are within two-mile walking distance of black or poor communities. They are exactly who they were yesterday. Abortionists like Gosnell, Kermit Gosnell, where he was snipping babies, killing them alive, flushing them down toilets, storing their body parts. Kermit Gosnells are still all across this country in these poor communities, maiming, molesting, and murdering minority women. Planned Parenthood is exactly today who they were yesterday. Margaret Sanger's dream is alive and well, and the blood is on all of our hands because we can't seem to just even keep our tax money out of their coffers.
Yes, well, my guest is Star Parker, and she is the president and founder of the Center for Urban Renewal and Education. Go to the website, urbancure.org. Star, you know, a lot of people still think, you know, the average Planned Parenthood worker is not a racist. That's not what they are. I mean, they're just doing what they're, you know, what they do.
You know, we know Abby Johnson got out of there when she saw that they really were children. One of the things that I'm finding about the workers within these abortion clinics, we vividly when we heard testimony at the Gosnell trial, mm-hmm. is that the abortionists go into the gutter to find the most vulnerable Americans, the most down on their luck Americans, to drag them into these horrible, horrible places. To kill children. Much of the work of the doctor, so-called doctor, is not exposed to them. They rarely use an ultrasound so you can see what's really occurring. And the ones that do, over time, they either get a numbness toward it and or they try to tell. Remember, we had no data, nothing, no stats on, no pictures on Gosnell, Kermit Gosnell, the Philadelphia abortionist who got away with killing over 16,000 children before he was shut down and taken to court. And then convicted of three murders, well, three babies and one. But we had nothing except for the staff. They were trying to tell, but there was no recourse in law for them to go any higher than their state. It's one of the reasons that the CURE, the Center for Urban Renewal and Education, and the National Black Pro-Life Coalition has launched a post-Gosnell campaign to get whistleblower language and criminal penalties into a national law. It's called the Mourn Alive Infants Protection Act of 2002. This mm-hmm. law humanized the child. It was signed into law. It was a voice vote. Even people like Hillary Clinton and Harry Reid voted for it. Well, if a child is born alive, as they were up in Gosnell's clinic and are being born alive all across this country in these abortion clinics, what is the penalty if they're caught doing this? That's what we did not have. You're absolutely right. Some of the clinic workers are absolutely numb. They know exactly what they're doing, and it's all about the money. But we also have to be concerned about those that get in there thinking they're just taking on a job, and then they have a revelation or an insight into what exactly is happening, and they want to get out, but they want to get out safely, and they want to get out securely. We need them to tell. We need them to report on these doctors because there is just no federal oversight of these horrible, horrible clinics where women are, as I mentioned already, being maimed, molested, and even murdered at the hands of these so-called legal abortionists.
Let me ask you this, Star. I mean, we had this, the Ferguson riots. We had the New York City protests, African-Americans in the street, black leaders condemning police, saying that they're racist. All over, you know, it's 24/7 news forever. I mean, it was like continuous for weeks and on end. But there's such a lack of responsibility in condemning abortion killing from African American leadership, and even from the pulpit. Why is that? I don't get it.
Because the race polarizers are the ones that get the microphone. There are a lot of decent black Americans who don't like what they're seeing as well. We know that a third continuously poll that they are evangelical or and conservative. We know out of the 45,000 black churches in the country, 10% of these pastors are on our side, crying in the wilderness, trying to rein in this madness that has overtaken their community, but they don't get a microphone. The microphone goes to the likes of an Al Sharpton who will incite, especially right before an election, because the left knew that they were going to lose that election and they needed to do any and everything they could to not lose and or to not lose so hardly. So, yeah, we see racial polarization that since has calmed down, but the issues have not gone away. We are definitely in a cultural war. We're at a critical cross point in this country, similar to the 1850s, to where we can't go on like this anymore. We're either going to be a biblical and free country or we're going to be a secular statist country. And that's the fight, similar to when Abraham Lincoln had to say, we can't do this anymore. We can no longer be half free and half slave. We're going to have to make a choice. So it's important. The work that you're doing is important, that young people understand that we're in a culture war and we need to get our message out so that we can save this country for the rest of the world.
Star Parker's my guest, and she heads up the Center for Urban Renewal and Education. You can go to urbancure.org, and they fight poverty, restore dignity through faith, freedom, and responsibility. On the subject of African-American leadership, and this has been my experience over the years, Star, and that is that most African-Americans are pro-life. I mean, a very high percentage, but they vote Democrat and they vote for liberal politicians generally. Explain that. What's going on?
In 30 seconds, it's very difficult.
Well, you got about 2 minutes. How's that?
Oh, black people, like most people, vote their economic well-being. Of course, we would love for them to take their Sunday morning values into the Tuesday voting booth. But they, like others, vote their economic well-being. And the challenge for African Americans is after the civil rights movement, the community took a turn and politicized itself. And instead of looking inwardly for the answers to break out of poverty, they began to look to government and bought this notion of social justice and redistribution. You know, keep in mind, Dr. King's vision was for repentance and revival. And
right.
We ended up, after his death, in the current state of affairs, which is about revenge and redistribution. This won't work for our people, and so it's backfired on blacks. So now we have 25% of black community living off the hand of government, whether it's our poor, our seniors, our vets, our youth. And then we have another 23% that live off the hand of government because they work for government, whether it's for the federal, for the state, for the county, for the city, or for local government. So it's a dilemma when you have half of your community depending on government for your income and you vote your economics, you're going to continue to vote for more of the same and ignore the truth, which is that the answer to poverty is freedom and personal responsibility. It's not a welfare state. The truth that limited government opens opportunities for others, or the truth that it's free markets that free people that create economic well-being and stability. Blacks have a choice to make. You know, we ask why would a community that keeps polling pro-life have such high abortion rates? There's just a paradox here, and we need to, as a community of people, address it. But in addition to the community itself getting itself together and start asking these deeper questions, we need public policy that does not reward ill behavior. And that's what CURE is trying to do, and that's what many on the conservative side are trying to do, is get public policy that says that you must be responsible with the choices that you make, and you have an obligation to your neighbor to be self-sufficient. This message is inconsistent with where blacks are today, but what we are seeing is a youth element.
And we got to go. We got to go. Got to wrap it up. Star Parker's been my guest. She's the president and founder of CURE, the Center for Urban Renewal and Education. Go to urbancure.org and check out her new book, Blind Conceit, an ebook on Amazon, iTunes, and Google Play. We'll be back next time. God bless you. God bless America. And remember, America, to bless God.
You've been listening to Mark Harrington, your radio activist, sponsored by Created Equal. For more information on how to become a witness against the evil plague in America, call Created Equal at 614-269-7808, 614-269-7808, or go online to createdequal.net, createdequal.net. Be sure to tune to The Mark Harrington Show next time for your marching orders in the culture war.